from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. These texts that we have tonight for our hearing, from, especially from Isaiah, brings to mind a lot about what people are interested in today. A lot of people are interested in genealogy. There's a lot of money to be made in genealogy because many people want to learn about their family histories. People want to learn where they came from. More specifically, people want to learn about their medical history of their forefathers. Did heart disease run in the family, cancers, diabetes, and what sort of health issues might my forefathers live and died with that I might need to be concerned about? I bring all this up because the world in which we live in, we play in, and we work in is sinfully sick and it is dying. And that's scary. Just think about all the news that you've heard over just this past week alone, this hurricane and all the flooding down south, riots and all that stuff, deadly diseases, and we shouldn't have forgotten yet about all this stuff with ISIS that's going on. It's all very scary stuff. And that's not even taking into consideration all the other sickening garbage that we've been exposed to, the promiscuity, adultery, greed, covetousness, theft, murder, and the defaming or criminalizing of anything that can even remotely resemble being a Christian in this day of ours. All of this stuff is socially acceptable now, and it's endorsed by the biggest celebrities and athletes and career politicians. So being a faithful Christian in the midst of all this deadly sin is a pretty lonely, and dangerous endeavor, wouldn't you say? I know I'm not alone, but I sometimes feel like it, but I'm sure you can relate. And yet, is any of this terrifying sinfulness brand new to humanity? Are we the first ones ever to have it so bad? I don't think so. This is why I love the words of our Lord in our Old Testament lesson tonight. He says, "Listen to me. Look to the rock from which you were hewn and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham and Sarah," he said. Now God first spoke these words thousands of years ago to the faithful Israelites who were trying to deal with sin that had surrounded and infiltrated their ranks. Their relatives to the north had already been swallowed up and conquered by the Assyrians, and things weren't looking good for the Israelites. Their religious and political leaders, well, they weren't the best, to say the least. They were calling for the appeasement method with the enemy. You know, that kind of everyone play nice and get together, practice tolerance kind of thing. They would try to win the enemy's favor with gold and riches. So these leaders were calling for and enacting policies that were pleasing to the very people who were out to destroy them. But these things were not pleasing to God, the God who had created them, the God who had provided for them, and the God who had redeemed them. So the faithful Israelites, the ones who were doing what God had willed, they were relatively few in number. Many of their own friends and family had already forsaken them in their faith, and they delved into the more popular, sensual, and rewarding beliefs and practices of that day. The faithful Israelites were looking around and seeing that, hey, they were in trouble. The church was in trouble. "Listen to me," God says. "Look to the rock from which you were hewn into the quarry from which you were dug. These words are every bit as relevant for us today as they were to our forefathers more than 2,700 years ago. Our Lord calls us back to our genealogy, our family tree. God used these very specific terms and images for a reason. How much life is there in a rock? You ever thought about that? What life can a rock produce? Have you ever heard about a male rock going into a rut? Or a female rock having a really bad day? Or can two rocks procreate and make a little rock? A veritable chip off the old block? Well, of course not. A rock is lifeless. A rock is dead. Just like Abraham was in terms of procreation and lineage. God even tells us this multiple times throughout the Holy Scripture, especially in the New Testament, in Romans and Hebrews, using the exact phrase that Abraham was as good as dead. The same could be said for his wife Sarah, who is likened to a quarry, or maybe a cistern, which is a bit more accurate translation from the Hebrew. But what is a quarry but a large stone pit? It was an empty pit, not a drop of life in it. It was incapable of sustaining or providing life. Now keep in mind, all right, that we're talking about our forefather and our foremother and their faith, Abraham and Sarah. How did Abraham and Sarah come to conceive and give birth to Isaac, the child of promise? They did so because God granted it. He made it happen. From two empty, lifeless sources, a rock and an empty cistern, God himself produced an abundance of life, of which you and I are a part of today. And this takes us back to our present day fears, concerns, and realities. This takes us back to the very words of our Lord Jesus in response to Peter's confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And on this rock," this rock-solid confession of Peter, Jesus said, "I will build my church." From this lifeless form of a rock, God will produce in an abundance the church. This world is scary, no doubt, but it's always been scary. Our family history shows this. Ever since sin entered into the lives of Adam and Eve, we've been running and hiding and been scared. The church itself seems to always be on the brink of failure. Every generation of Christians fear that the church is going to die off with their generation, or this next generation isn't going to take care of the church. Our Heavenly Father has always, and He always will, take care of His people, His assembly of the faith, the church. The church on earth has always been persecuted and in trouble. The devil and his minions are always seeking ways to infect, sicken, and kill off God's holy bride and her children of faith. And yet, here we are. We're still alive. The church is still here. This building still stands. The gates of hell have not prevailed. Our Father has always provided, protected, and delivered us. Our family history shows us, from Adam to Noah to Abraham to Moses, to St. Paul, to St. Peter, and to us today, that his people have always been saved and redeemed through simple faith alone, in him alone. I know some of you are scared. I know some of you are concerned. You're not alone. You've never been alone. The deadly sinful disorders that we struggle with today have always ravaged our family of faith, and the cure has always been the same. Look to these outstretched arms of your Lord and Savior. Look to and grasp these outstretched arms of God's gift of salvation. What do you have to fear? Jesus said, "It is finished." This body of flesh that was outstretched and nailed to the cross at Calvary for you has accomplished all the work of redemption. This outstretched, resurrected body of life and victory continues to work on and build up and protect his church, the very church that stands firm on the solid rock of his all-redeeming death and resurrection. Here is God's plan for his children, his family. Here is the ever-relevant and unfailing gift of life and deliverance for you, he says, for me and for all of God's people for all time. Here is your past, present, and future font and source of peace and comfort as a baptized child of the family of Almighty God. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus. Amen.